Good morning.
Thank you so much. The little children, I love to hear the children sing that song. I always enjoy that so much. It's one of the songs they do at Free Home at the little sing-along they have, and I always enjoy that so much. I love to watch children do it, the animations and everything, and it's such a true song, too. And then Christmas certainly is always a time for love, and it was a very special, holy time when Christ was born. Very special. And so all the choirs, just thank you so much for doing just a fantastic job. You know, I told you just real quickly, you know, I told you a couple of things about songs last Sunday about, you know, all I want for Christmas, two front teeth. Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Then I was thinking about, too, though, I didn't mention this last Sunday because I had to move along, but you ever thought about the 12 days of Christmas? I mean, really, who wants all them birds? I mean, you know, maybe the 5 golden rings, you know, but them birds? I just don't know nobody that wants that many birds, you know. Maybe people are different than I am. But anyway, thank you so much. That was beautiful for all the good singing. If you're visiting with us today, we are so glad to have you. Don't feel like a visitor. Be at home. Be a part of us as we come together to worship this morning. I know there's a lot of folks that's listening today through means of internet, and we want to welcome them into our worship service this morning as we worship. Perhaps they are there at home, but we are here at church, but we all worship together. And so we are just so excited and so glad that we're able to offer that to those folks that are unable to come and be here with us on Sunday morning. And we just hope and pray that everybody just feels so much a part of this service today. We're going to let these ladies pay for us, and if everyone would please stand for a moment and take a moment of time, shake hands with someone seated there around you, if you would, please. Thank you, ladies, for playing for us this morning. We've been on a journey, we're on a journey to Bethlehem as we go through the month of December and leading up to Christmas. Today, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2, very familiar passage. And it's the journey that gets Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. And really and truly, the same thing that gets Mary and Joseph to where they need to be is the same thing that gets you and I in our lives where we need to be. Last Sunday, we looked at the Old Testament prediction or prophecy of what would take place and transpire, and how God, 700 years prior to the birth of Christ, had prophesied and predicted that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Looked back at that Old Testament passage. And this morning we're going to look at what gets Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. So if you have your Bibles, look in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. If you don't have one with you, if you look right there in front of you in the pew rack, you can find one and read along with us if you'd like to. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2, beginning at verse number 1. 1 through 7 is what I'm going to read. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. That's verses 1 through 7 out of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. Let's bow our heads, please, for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, God, for the Christmas story. And Lord, though we've all heard it many, many times, yet there's some perhaps here today that may be hearing it for the first time. Or there's some that may really begin to understand it today for the very first time. And Lord, I pray that all of us, Lord, would let it be new in our lives. I pray, Father, that all of us today could glean something from this story that you have given us that would help us as we journey through life, that would draw us closer to you. Most of all, help us to understand, Father, that all of us, you have a place for us to be, and you do have a will for every one of us's life. God, help us to find it and to follow it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As I said, 700 years earlier, God had said this was going to happen. And God uses ways sometimes to make things happen that we don't really understand. God will make things happen, and it doesn't matter whether men or women are in great power, whether it's a empire that they are ruling over, or whether it is a kingdom that they rule over, or whether it's some great democracy that they are. The bottom line is, and the one thing that you and I should always remember is this: God rules the world. God rules the world. Many times we look at people of power and people of position, and we think about the power they have and the capabilities they have to make things, so to speak, happen sometimes. But the thing that you and I should always remember in life, that it is ultimately God that rules this world that you and I live in. And when we understand that, we understand why these events took place and why God was able to make everything happen in the manner and in the way that it did here on this occasion. And if God made it happen in that time and on that occasion, can God still not make it happen in the world that you and I live in today? Yes, He can. I want you to think about, first of all, what the Scripture tells you and I, that there came this decree out from Caesar Augustus. Now, I'm not going to give you a big, long history lesson about Caesar Augustus, but there is a couple of things that you've got to understand. He is the very first emperor of Rome. Rome is becoming this powerful empire that is growing, and really during his reign from 27 BC to 1480, it was very much a peaceful time for them. And they annexed a lot of land, and a lot of people became Roman citizens. And the empire just kept spreading and kept getting bigger. And he's accredited for doing many great, wonderful works in his day. Really and truly, the understanding of perhaps even the postal system that we have today can go back and be accredited to him. The roads that Rome built were just beyond, you know, really understanding and comprehension of that day. They had taken so much time and detail to make these roads that water wouldn't stand in them, and just a lot of effort had went into all of this. But how do you think they accomplished all of those things? Well, the same way things get done here in America for the most part. You and I pay taxes. And that's exactly what happened with those folks. So he sent out this decree that all these people, you got to come back and register for this census in the town that your lineage is from, or that you're born from. And you've got to come back and you've got to register in that town there, because you're going to be taxed and you're going to have to pay taxes because Rome is doing all of this and working. And it's one time it was said by someone he found Rome in brick and mortar and left it in marble. And there's a lot of truth to that. During his reign as emperor of Rome, he made vast improvements in every way and in every facet that he possibly could. So in order to do all of this, he's going to tax the people. Well, that taxation is what really God worked through in order to get Mary and Joseph back to Bethlehem. God worked through taxing people in order to fulfill a prophecy that had taken place many years ago. Now, sometimes folks will say, well, wouldn't have God made it happen? Yes, he would have. It was going to happen no matter what. Some way, somehow, or another, he is going to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem because that is where Christ is going to be born. But God chose to work through those means to make it happen. And that's why I say today that people can look around and all kinds of people worldwide, people can think they have power, there can be kingdoms, they can think they're in charge, but it's always ultimately God that rules the world that you and I live in. So we understand now that all of this is playing into what God wants to happen and what God is ultimately going to make happen. He is going to get these people. He is going to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. He's going to get them there. God is going to work through ways that may seem odd. It may not be really comprehensible and understandable sometimes. I mean, we know the story and we understand it. But I'm saying to you and I remember what I said, what got Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem is the same thing that gets you and I to where God wants us to be in our life. He works through ways sometimes that perhaps you and I really don't understand. May not even seem like the way that you would think God would operate, but yet this is the way that God chose to work through and accomplish what he wanted accomplished. Well, also in this, you've got to understand that you see the obedience of Mary and Joseph. Okay, they've come, they've understand that there's this taxation going on, and Joseph knows that he has to get there. And Mary is going to come along and she's going to go with him in order to get there. But now I want you to think about this, folks. This is one of the things that you and I need to understand that we can gain understanding also from this passage is what transpired and what took place in order for Mary and Joseph to get there. Okay, there's this, like we've read in the scripture, there's this census that's been taken. You've got to come. You've got to report to your own town. Now, Mary and Joseph, they are in Nazareth. This is a place that is about 80 miles away. And in order to get from Nazareth to where Bethlehem is, while there was a lot of good roads in Rome and stuff, Bethlehem was just not the hot seat. It wasn't the place to be. So there wasn't a whole lot of good roads and everything that leads to Bethlehem, from Nazareth especially. Nazareth's a very small town itself in that day. Not a very highly populated area at that time. So Mary and Joseph has to be obedient and make this journey, and it's about an 80-mile journey. Now, you and I, when we think about 80 miles in here, you know, you just think about getting in your car and zipping 80 miles. That's nothing. Think about going 80 miles on foot. Now, I know that some of you are going to say, yeah, but Mary rode a donkey. The Bible doesn't tell us that Mary rode a donkey. Mary could have very well rode a donkey. But again, that goes back to what I tell you a lot of times. We get a lot of our doctrine, a lot of our theology, a lot of our ideas from greeting cards. And it's not in the Bible. Could she have rode one? Yes, there is a likelihood that she could have. But nothing in the scripture tells us 100% that Mary rode a donkey to Bethlehem. The Bible doesn't teach that. She could have. Quite possible. But it does not say that. But I want you to think about this journey. Men, let me ask you something. Do you remember when your wife was carrying a child? Do you? Do you remember the times? Now listen, you got to remember this. She is late. I mean, she's getting ready to give birth. Did you ever hear, honey, my back is killing me? Did you ever see your wife at the end of the day pull off her shoes, and did you ever look at her feet? It's usually swollen. I don't know. Mary, perhaps Joseph had to gather a bunch of olives. I don't know what she craved. But you know all of this, I mean, you know, you can imagine everything that this woman is going through. Look, it's no different. The same experiences that you women experience today in birthing a child, this lady experienced also. The backache, the feet swelling, the cravings, whatever. They were all there. I'm satisfied with Mary. And now, guys, think about this. You know, you have to be a little patient during that time. Really, you got to be a lot patient. Or you better be. You know, I would wire a frying pan upside the head. But, you better be pretty nice. And you better be pretty accommodating. Right, let me ask you this now. How many of you, this would be about the same thing. How many of you would want to take your wife when she's 8 months pregnant and say, honey, let's go hike the Appalachian? How about it? How far would you get with your wife if you said that? Honey, let's just go walk. You know, I know that, you know, they say that the walking is, you know, helps with the, you know, getting you there. I don't know. But anyway, can you just imagine? I mean, really think about it. Because if you understand anything about the geography and everything of that area, it would be about the same equivalent of walking on a trail like that is uphill, downhill, winding, nothing real easy about it at all. Now, why am I saying all of that today? Listen, getting to where God wants you to be in life is not always easy, folks. If it was a difficult journey for Mary, who is carrying the Son of God, do you expect to God to make every step of your pathway to just be free and clear and no obstacles, no heartaches, nothing ever difficult or tough? Do you expect God to do that for you? He didn't do it for the Son of God. He did not do it for Mary, who is toting, carrying the very Son of God. I hope you get my point. To get where God wants us to be sometimes is not always an easy journey. It's not always a cleared out path that you can just walk through so leisurely and hold hands and skip along the way. That's the way we'd like to look at it. But it's really not that, because the journey for Mary and Joseph in order to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem to where God wanted them to be was not an easy journey. And wherever it is that God wants you to be at in life today, it's not going to always be an easy journey to get there. Oh yeah, some ways may be a little bit easier than others, but it's not going to always It's not going to always be an easy journey. And this was a journey that if you was in good health and good shape and everything, you know, probably a four or five day walk, 80 miles, I don't know, something like that, I think. But remember, there is Mary who is pregnant, who is late in this pregnancy. So perhaps 4 or 7 day walking journey trip. It's not an easy trip. So you and I shouldn't think that our journey would always be easy in life. So they go out on their journey. They arrive in Bethlehem where God wants them to be. And even when they get there, things is not easy. Listen, sometimes we think that, oh, you know what? If I can just get where God wants me to be in life, then everything will just, you know, the doors are going to swing wide open. Everything's going to be okay. It'll all be hip, hip, hooray. Well, it wasn't that for Mary and Joseph. When they get there, when they finally get to Bethlehem, you know the story. I'm not going to get into that because I don't have time. They get there and there's no room for them. There's no place to stay. We could preach an old sermon about that. So they've gotten to where God wants them to be. They've got to this place that's called Bethlehem. It's a place that's been prophesied about 700 years prior to this journey that they take. So they know that they're where God wants them to be. And you would think that, you know, that God would have the barn ready or the inn or whatever, you know, you'd think. But he doesn't. And so, of course, you know the story. There's the innkeeper evidently didn't have no place to put them up, no place for lodging for the night. And they find what we would probably refer to as a barn. And again, I'll tell you something. It wasn't an event barn. Okay? Yeah, you understand? Now, I know again, and I know y'all think that I'm just hard on card-making people, but it's just the truth. They make it look that real pretty scenery and real pretty. You know, Jesus is laying in that golden fluffy hay. Let me tell you something. It would have been like a Cochran barn or a Wilkie barn or a barn that people uses, okay? Where cattle are at, where donkeys are at, where sheep are at, where livestock is kept. It would not be that cleaned out, beautiful looking place that we so many times see pictures of. It wasn't that at all, folks. Some scholars might have actually been a cave, you know. No use getting big debate about that. The thing about it is simply this. It was not some grand, glorious, luxurious place. So you and I, when we get where God wants us to be sometimes, there's still a lot to deal with, still a lot to go through with. But it takes, listen, this is what it took. It took faith and a tremendous amount of courage on the part of Mary and Joseph to just keep believing God. And that's the same thing that it'll take out of you and I, a tremendous amount of faith and courage that we'll just keep continuing and trudging on and believing God is sending us and placing us where He wants us to be. That's what He was doing with Mary and Joseph. It wasn't easy, and it definitely wasn't convenient. Do you know that's one of the saddest things that I think plagues Christianity today? Is, do you know what? Really? Listen, folks, I'm including myself, okay? Christians want it easy and convenient because that's the way we've come to live in the world today. We want everything easy, and we want everything convenient. Living our life for the Lord is not always easy, and it's not always convenient. It takes sacrifice. It takes the willingness to be obedient to God and to do things that perhaps we don't even fully understand. Why in the world God would call you to do this or to do that, or why in the world would God send you to such an obscure place like Bethlehem? I mean, that is of all the obscure places that Christ could have been born, that is going to be tops. Very small, very little, seemingly very insignificant. How many times have people thought, well, you know, this is so insignificant, this is so small, this is so little. What in the world could God have for me to do in a place like this? You might be surprised if you just get there. If you just be obedient and follow God. So can you identify with Mary and Joseph? The journey that God places all of us on is not always easy. It's not always convenient. But they made time for Jesus. They get there. Jesus is born. She takes the child and wraps him in swaddling clothes. And, you know, sometimes folks say, why is this the story that Luke is the one that writes? Says, well, remember, Luke's a physician. Why wouldn't he write about all these things? Why wouldn't he tell you about? He understood the benefits of swaddling. Swaddling's becoming, you know, that's coming back now. You know, mothers is doing that now. You know, it's they realize the benefit. What about that? Isn't it amazing that sometimes if people just look back at the Bible, it might teach us something? Because doctors have come to realize there's a benefit to that. Not only does it make the after the child has been born makes it feel secure, but it also the resistance that it causes pushing against that helps to strengthen and build the muscles and the joints and everything. God always knew what He was doing. You know, we got to wait for somebody to scientifically figure it out sometimes. We can't just trust God. That's the way we live today. Let me ask you this. Are you where God wants you to be in life? And the journey to Bethlehem was where God wanted Mary and Joseph to be in order that the Christ child would be born. Are you where God wants you to be today? Are you willing to make the sacrifices? Are you willing to be all in and trust God? Because that's what it took in order for Mary and Joseph to get there. They had to be all in. You can't halfway or half-heartedly really follow God and really get direction from Him and really get guidance from Him and really and truly end up where He wants you to be unless you're willing also to make those kind of sacrifices and to make that kind of commitment in your life to get where God wants you to be. So that was their journey to Bethlehem. And I hope wherever our journey is that God wants us, that we'd be just as committed as Mary and Joseph was, in order that God's will might work through in our lives. That was part of His plan. Get them to Bethlehem, and Christ would be born, the Savior of the world that came into this world to take away the sins of all humanity and all of mankind and those that would trust Him. He's the same thing for you today. Ronnie, get us a song. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you are here today, and you're not a child of God, you have never come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You've never come to trust Him as Lord and Savior in your life. Then He's wanting you to journey today to Bethlehem. He's wanting you to come today that He might be born in you. That you may start life anew today.